in Montreal.
I met her at an art show. She looked like Hallie. Walked to a loft show. I pissed in the alley and she didn't seem to mind.
I'm Adam Innes and you're listening to CJLO News. Lebanese students are being emotionally impacted by news of military attacks and mass death in their home country. On Tuesday night, students from McGill and Concordia organized a vigil for people killed in Israel's current ground invasion and former airstrikes in Lebanon. The vigil took place at McGill's campus. Over 200 attendees held candles and observed speakers from different student groups.
I am terrified of calling my parents and hearing something other than, "We are safe, Hayate, don't worry." I am scared that the memories that linger in the trees, the breeze, the soil, and the sea will be destroyed forever, and that the expansionist regime will swallow the mountains I've skied on in the winter and the beaches I relaxed on in the summer. I'm afraid of losing the biggest part and the most prominent part of my identity, which is my country.
This event of mourning comes as Israel begins what is called limited and targeted raids in southern Lebanon against Hezbollah operations. So far, Israeli attacks on Lebanon have killed over 1,000 people. Over 1 million people have been forced to evacuate their homes. The vigil was held to honor the dead in Lebanon and provide support for the Lebanese student community, as well as express political frustrations. Here are some words from Concordia student Hassan Raida, speaking at the vigil.
Look around you. Look at the people around you. Look at the different backgrounds. Muslims, non-Muslims, Arab, non-Arabs. This is why we are victorious. Because we are united no matter what happens. So, just like how they are doing this in Lebanon and Gaza, where they are united hand in hand to the death, the thing that binds them together, the desire for justice.
With students recently back on campus, student activism related to the crisis in the Middle East is ramping up. McGill campus was home to the longest-standing pro-divestment encampment in North America, before it was shut down by the university in July. Various student groups have continued a variety of methods of applying pressure on their schools to divest and sanction Israel, ranging from flyering, picketing, to vigils and speeches. Here is a speaker from the Lebanese Student Association.
We have witnessed our villages and cities being carpet bombed and our people getting pulled from under the rubble. But we also witnessed our people leaving their homes with their heads held high, because they know they will return to them at the hour of liberation.
That speaker went on to condemn financial ties to Israel from both schools. On the topic of divestment from Israel, Concordia has reiterated to CJLO in a statement that its fund is committed to reaching 100% sustainable investment by 2025. This action is mostly related to divestment from fossil fuels. Student activists here at the vigil object and point to the fact that Concordia's primary financial advisor is BMO, which itself invests heavily in Elbit Systems, Israel's largest weapons manufacturer. As for McGill, the most recent public financial report has over $73 million invested in 50 companies on the boycott, divestment, and sanctions list, companies linked to Israeli military operations and condemned by these activists. The future of activism on campus in the coming weeks is uncertain, but walkouts and protests are expected early next week. For more, go to cjlo.com/news and follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tommy John Show here on CJLO 1690 AM on a gorgeous, beautiful October the 7th. What a day we have in store for you guys on the Tommy John Show. We had a hectic week in the world of sports. Week 5 in the NFL wraps up tonight. One of the crazier college football weeks I can ever remember. And Major League Baseball postseason in full swing, pun intended. So why don't we start off like we always do with a quick recap of the past week. And if you're new to the program, I am Tommy Lane, and this is the Tommy John Show, where every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CJLO 1690 a.m., we discuss everything going on in the world of sports. So hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone has had a great weekend. It was a beautiful weekend, apart from a little bit of rain last night, but had the TV outside in the backyard and watched college football, the NFL, a lot of that Mets-Philly series, which we will get into during the program, as well as things heating up in the Premier League over in Europe. We got just so much to talk about. The fall is truly here. We have the huge Masters 1000 tournament in Shanghai for tennis, and the NHL starting this week as well. I can't believe the National Hockey League is already starting. On Tuesday night, we have several games which we'll get into, and teams I think will make the postseason in the NHL. We'll get into all of that here on the Tommy John Show over the next hour. So why don't we start off like we always do with a quick recap, and man, did the NFL have some good games this weekend. It started off with maybe the best game of the weekend, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading to Atlanta to face their division foe, the Atlanta Falcons, and we had a thriller. Absolute thriller. 36-30. The Atlanta Falcons take down the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in just the most dramatic fashion possible. Just to quickly recap, Tampa was up, I believe, by, well, I forget the exact score at the time, I think by 3 or 6. And it's 4th and long, and they have to go for it, Atlanta, and Kirk Cousins throws a pick. Then they start moving the ball backward, holding penalties against Tampa. Just run games going nowhere. They're forced to punt. They're forced to punt up 3. You're right, it was 30-27. They're forced to punt. And Kirk Cousins leads them down the field with no timeouts, long field goal. And then once they get in field goal range, there's a delay game penalty, backs them up 5 yards. It was hectic. Absolute chaos. Then, in overtime, I had a feeling once Atlanta won the toss, they were going to go down the field and score. And that's exactly what they did. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who played tremendous all game, fall just short, 36-30 against the Atlanta Falcons. Listen to this stat line by Kirk Cousins. 42 of 58, 509 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. He did have the 1 pick, but 509 passing yards, which is the most in Falcons history. It's funny, the day he breaks Matt Ryan's record, Matt Ryan getting inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor, which is pretty cool. Baker Mayfield had a nice, efficient game, though. He was 19 to 24, 180 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. But we do have to get into Mike Evans. He has been very steady this year. He had 62 catches, but 2 more touchdowns. He's racking up the touchdowns this year. He played great. Everyone's going to point to Bucky Irving and that fumble he had in the second half. It was just an absolute crazy game. And if you look for if you're a Falcons fan, you're very excited because Drake London went off with 154 yards. Darnell Mooney, I mean, he had the huge drop in the fourth quarter, but besides that, he played pretty well. He had 105 yards. And more importantly, they got Kyle Pitts involved. And if you talk to Falcons fans, they've been dying to get Kyle Pitts involved in their offense for the last 3 years. I mean, he was the 4th overall pick out of Florida, generational tight end talent. He just wasn't being used, really, in Arthur Smith's offense. Now, it seems to have changed. New coaching staff, new regime, and Raheem Morris. I know people say, oh, he's a defensive guy, defensive coordinator. He spent a few years with Sean McVay in Los Angeles, being the DC, so he must have picked up some offensive skills just being around Sean McVay. He hired Zach Robinson, who was with the Rams as well, to be the OC, and they are trying to get Kyle Pitts involved, which was huge. Absolutely huge for them. He had a big game, his biggest in a long time. And the Atlanta Falcons, 36-30 in overtime. just fantastic. We head now to the games from yesterday, and there was a lot of good ones. We start off to the game that happened in London, England, where the New York Jets fell to the Minnesota Vikings 23-17. Aaron Rodgers, not a good game by any means. He threw the ball 54 times for only 244 yards. He did have two touchdowns, but three picks. A lot of people are pointing fingers at Alan Lazard now, poor guy, just because he had an off day. Like, really? We're gonna throw, you did have a touchdown. I know he didn't play well, but Aaron Rodgers has to be better. Three interceptions, you're joking. Minnesota, though, 5-0. Sam Darnold, not his best game as a Viking, but still, 14-31, not ideal. He just tried to be as conservative as possible and let that defense cook, because that Minnesota defense is for real. Picking up Stephon Gilmore absolutely helped. He had the game-sealing interception with under 2 minutes to play. Minnesota, the first 5-0 team in the NFL. The Chiefs are looking to do that tonight as they host New Orleans. But as of right now, it's just the Minnesota Vikings at 5-0. They go into their bye week. And if you were to tell Vikings fans, Sam Darnold would make your team 5-0, man, I know the defense has been extraordinary, but you lose Kirk Cousins in the offseason, you draft J.J. McCarthy to be the guy or the guy of the future, you just signed Sam Darnold to a 1 year, McCarthy gets hurt, and you're still 5-0. Pretty remarkable. The Chicago Bears, 36-10 over the Carolina Panthers, and we can call this game maybe the coming out party of Caleb Williams. He was sensational. 304 passing yards, two touchdowns. He was 20 for 29. Very efficient and good game for Caleb Williams. He's thrown a few games now for over 300 yards. This one in a winning effort. DeAndre Swift had a big game. He had 73 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And not to mention, he had some good receiving yards. 47 more receiving. Huge game for DJ Moore. 5 catches, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns for him. Carolina, maybe that Raiders game was a one-off, but Chuba Hubbard, the Canadian, proven to be one of the better backs in football. He had 97 yards on 13 carries and a touchdown. So Carolina fall to 1-4. The Bears in that very competitive NFC North move to 3-2. The Washington Commanders and rookie sensation Jaden Daniels continue to win ball games. They thump the Cleveland Browns 34-13. Jaden Daniels 14-25, 238, a touchdown, a pick, nothing spectacular, but on the ground, he had 11 carries for 82 yards. Huge day for Terry McLaurin, 4 catches, 112 yards. Deshaun Watson and the Browns, man, he only had 125 yards passing. And there's some rumblings. I know Coach Stefanski said Deshaun's still the guy. Fans kind of want Deshaun Watson out of there, and we will get into Deshaun Watson, what the hell's going on, in a moment. In a game that I painfully had to watch, the Miami Dolphins take down the New England Patriots 15-10. Tyler Huntley made the start for Miami, and he can finish the whole game. He was 18-31, 194 yards, and a pick. Big day for Jalen Wright. He had 86 rushing yards. Ramondre Stevenson had 89 for the Patriots and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill still got his 70 yards receiving on 6 catches. But a big concern is Devon Achane went down for the Dolphins in that game. So we'll see how long he will be sidelined for. Miami just buying their time. That's a huge win until Tua comes back. Don't know when it will be, but they got Indianapolis, Arizona. They have two winnable games coming up. So we'll see what happens. The Denver Broncos, 34-18, they take down the Las Vegas Raiders. A big performance by by Bo Nix for his standards. He was 19-27, 206, and 2 touchdowns. Bo Nix is just, you know, I haven't been so too impressed with him. Preseason, everyone wanted to make him out. He was the next John Elway. He was fine. He was fine. This was by far his most efficient and best game of his career. They take down the Raiders 34-18, and Gardner Minshew got benched for Aiden O'Connell late in that ball game. So we'll see what comes out of Las Vegas with the quarterback situation as they fall to 2-3. The Houston Texans, in a head-scratching game, take down the Buffalo Bills 23-20. Buffalo got the ball back with like 40 seconds left from their own 5, and they decided to drop back pass 3 times. They punt the ball away, and you gave C.J. Stroud too much time. If they just run the ball up the middle, they go to overtime, and who knows what happens. But very questionable coaching by the Buffalo Bills. Head-scratching, to be honest. They fall to Houston 23-20. C.J. Stroud, big day, 331 passing yards and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs in his first game against his old team, he had a nice game 82 receiving yards. Nico Collins, 2 catches, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Only 9 completions for Josh Allen. Wow, that's a strange one. The Jacksonville Jaguars got their first win of the season, 37-34 over the Colts. Trevor Lawrence, sensational in the effort. So was Joe Flacco. Lawrence goes to 371, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. The New York Giants, 29-20 over the Seattle Seahawks. Big game from this from the Giants' defense. They were spectacular. The Packers, 24-19 over the Rams. The Cincinnati Bengals, who led most of the day and had Joe Burrow throw for basically 400 yards, 5 touchdowns, fall 41-38 in overtime to the Baltimore Ravens. Their defense, yowzer. Atrocious. And we will get into that coaching decision when they got the ball in overtime after Lamar fumbled. They just run the ball up the middle 3 times. They get like 2 yards. And McPherson has to kick a 53-yarder and he misses it. And then sure enough, you know what happens. Baltimore with Derrick Henry go right down the field. And then Tucker hits the game-winning field goal. We're going to get into all this on the show. Arizona, huge come-from-behind win against San Francisco, 24-23. Big day for James Conner for the Arizona Cardinals. And the only plus for the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk showed up yesterday. They have a short week as they head to Seattle to take on the Seahawks on Thursday night. The Pittsburgh Steelers were looking to improve to 4-1 as they hosted the Cowboys on a thunder and lightning night in Pittsburgh. The game got delayed till about 9:45 Eastern time. And after that, it was a low-scoring game, obviously, but pretty entertaining. But it's the Cowboys on a fourth and goal attempt from Dak Prescott. Win the game 20-17. A big game for Dak. He threw for 352 yards. He did have 2 picks. But man, what a performance by the Cowboys. They needed it. They were down and out on fourth and goal. They almost fumbled the ball on the 1-yard line, 2 plays before that. Just a hectic ball game. And it ends with a 20-17 win. If we look at the standings now, the Bills lead the way still in the East at 3-2. The Chiefs are 4-0 leading the West. The AFC North now, that was a huge game, that Cincinnati and Baltimore game. Both teams were probably going to be 2-3. Because of the win, Baltimore goes to 3-2. They're tied with the Steelers at 3-2. Browns and Bengals both at 1-4. The Texans leading the way, 4-1 in the South. But Jacksonville get their first win and an easy schedule coming up. Who knows? Maybe they can re-enter the mix. You go to the NFC East. It's the Washington Commanders and everyone else right now, 4-1 leading the way. The Cowboys at 3-2. Philly has a bye there at 2-2 as well. The NFC West, who would have thought 3-2, the Seattle Seahawks would be leading the way. A lot of people had them slated as the worst team in the division coming into the year. Despite the loss, 2 losses in a row, they lead the way in a huge game for them Thursday night at home against the Niners. The NFC North is now the best division in football, clearly. Minnesota at 5-0 leads the way. The Lions had a bye. They're at 3-1. The Bears and Packers are both at 3-2. Everyone with a winning record in the NFC North. The NFC South, Atlanta, Tampa leading the way. We'll see if New Orleans can join them as they play the Chiefs tonight on Monday night. Football, Major League Baseball, the postseason has arrived, and we had some tremendous games over the weekend. We had 2 great games in Philadelphia, the Mets and Phillies splitting the first 2 games, Mets taking game 1, Phillies dramatically walk it off in the 9th last night to win 7-6. The Padres evened up their series with the Dodgers with a 10-2 rout of Los Angeles. It is 1-1 heading back to San Diego. The Detroit Tigers made the postseason by playing their tails off. Won the wild card round, but they got met and got dismantled with one of the best teams in baseball, the Cleveland Guardians. 7-0, they fell on Saturday. They play tonight around 4 o'clock in Cleveland. The New York Yankees had to come back and win their opening game with the Royals 6-5. They host game 2 tonight, 7:30 Eastern time. So the 4 series, it's 1-1 between Phillies and Mets, 1-1 between the Dodgers and Padres, 1-0 for the Yankees over the Royals, 1-0 for the Guardians over the Tigers. Last thing before our break, we have to get into those NCAA football results, and man, was that not the craziest weekend of all time? Seriously. Number 1 Alabama falls to Vanderbilt, 40-35. You had the number 4 team in the country, the Tennessee Volunteers, falling to Arkansas, 19-14. You had the defending national champions, number 10 Michigan, falling to Washington 27-17. And then you had USC, the number 11 team in the country, going to Minnesota, of all places. And they fall. So number 1, 4, 10, 11, all losing 24-17. They lose to Minnesota. Then Miami came back from 35-10 down, or 31-10 down. I forget the exact score. I was watching the game. It was pretty late at night. 35-10 down to beat California. They outscored Cal 21-3 in the fourth quarter. Cam Ward went off, and number 7 Miami survived. So we were in a position where half of the top 10 teams could have lost. And that's with teams like Texas on a bye. Georgia played Auburn. I think Oregon were ranked 8. They're now ranked 3. It's just absolutely unbelievable what's going on. And other huge results. Number 9, Missouri lost to Texas A&M. I know A&M was a favorite, but Missouri was ranked number 9 in the country. 41-10, they lost. It was the most hectic weekend of college football I've ever seen. I was more excited about the college football slate than the NFL slate talking about on the show today. I'm serious. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. We're going to get into all of it. So number 1 loses. Number 4 loses. Number 9 loses. Number 10 loses. Number 11 loses. Number 8 should have lost. Cal, I don't know how the hell they blew that game Saturday night into Sunday morning, but man, they're going to be looking themselves in the mirror saying, how did we let that happen? Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Other big results, Georgia handled Auburn 31-13. Number 9, Ole Miss 27-3. Bounce back win after losing to Kentucky. They beat South Carolina. Indiana continues to roll. They are 6-0, and they have no signs of slowing down. Good win for the Hoosiers. The Pitt Panthers remain undefeated 34-24 over North Carolina. Penn State 27-11 over UCLA. Oregon, number 3 in the country now because of that 31-10 win and all the aftermath that followed, 31-10 over Michigan State. Ohio State remains number 2, 35-7 over Iowa. Boise State now are in the mix. They win 62-30, and Ashton Gentry didn't even play in the second half, and he went for 186 yards. He's probably the Heisman favorite right now, along with Travis Hunter. But man, some crazy results. Clemson, no shock, beating Florida State. Iowa State remains undefeated. Just so much. I'm getting so excited. I'm talking faster. I'm sorry, but it's just unbelievable what's going on. Crazy. Florida State, I mentioned they're 1-5 now. Did I mention they're 1-5? It's stupid. Cal is ruining everything. I said they'd lose the Cal. It's the only one I've missed so far. When we were on this show 2 weeks ago, I said, oh, they lost this after they lost to Memphis. And they're 0-3. I said, they'll lose the Cal, they'll lose SMU, they'll lose to Clemson. They beat Cal 14-9, and they got blown out by both SMU and Clemson. So it wasn't that far off. We quickly have to get to a break. But when we come back, we will discuss that hectic weekend in college football, as well as what the hell is going on in the National Football League. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
For its fourth edition, Tiny Fest, presented by Worst Dad Ever and CJLO 1690 AM, is taking over Casa del Popolo, La Sala Rosa, and La Sardinia October 11th and 12th. Come on out to see your favorite local and Canadian artists, such as Birds of Prey, Fireball Kid, Shunk, The Neverminds, Shallow, and so many more. Festival passes and individual show tickets are available for purchase now. For more information, check out Worst Dad Ever on Facebook and Worst Dad Ever _ on Instagram. See you there.
Never. tune in to Fukubukuro on Saturdays at 8 p.m. for your weekly grab bag of music from Japan, East Asia, and everywhere else, only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Back here on CGLO, I just got a, sorry I was a bit late to that, report that Jacoby Brissett, Gerard Mayo not happy with him in New England, said the defense was good enough to win that game, special teams was good enough to win that game, and they're evaluating all options. That's why I was a bit late. I couldn't believe what I was reading, because we were just told, oh, you know, the whole time it was, we're playing Jacoby Brissett because we are grooming Drake May. We are grooming Drake May. There's no need to rush him out there. The team's not that good. Let him sit. Let him learn. Let him not get his head beat in, because that O-line is atrocious. And we just got the report now. That was a bit late getting to the microphone. I couldn't believe it. The quote was, it wasn't just goodness on Jacoby Brissett's performance by Gerard Mayo. It just wasn't good enough. I thought we played well enough defensively and on special teams to win the football game. As the quarterback, and he understands this, he touches the ball on every single play, and we didn't win the game or score enough points to win this game. I think he could echo that same sentiment that it wasn't good enough. So the reason why this is big is because in past weeks, he always comes out on his Monday radio show with the local Boston channel and says, even after the Jets game, and after the 49ers game, he said, guys, Jacoby's our starter for this. Like, Jacoby's our guy. Every week, they ask him the same question. So, is Drake May going to play? Jacoby's our guy. This week, they asked him, and they just said he wasn't good enough. So, maybe I'm reading too much into this. But, man, first of all, I don't know if I'd play him against Houston with Will Anderson and Hunter and Stingley and all. I wouldn't do that. I don't think I would. I think that'd be dumb. Even if they win the game, you know, like, there's not a high enough chance. Like, even if Mahomes is on our team, there's a chance we don't even win that game. So maybe I'm not, again, I wanted him to sit out as long as possible, learn as lot as possible, maybe get some cohesion with whoever the offensive line are, whoever they are, and then throw him out there. Against Houston, I'm not the biggest fan of that. I know it's at home, and they look, oh, then we have to go play Jacksonville and London, then it's the Jets. When does it open up? I'd say November 3rd against Tennessee, if you want. Or you wait 2 weeks till November 17th, because then you let the Titans game go, you let the at Chicago, who have a very good defense, go. And then you have, all right, the Rams, who are banged up and injured. Miami stink. Indy doesn't have a good defense. Arizona's not that good. Bills, Chargers, Bills. I like that play more. Play him the last, what, 7 games. You give him 10 games to sit, watch, learn, and we go from there. You want to start him at home? Great. November 17th, 1 o'clock, you're at home against the Rams. We'll be traveling cross-country to play you in an early game. Might be a bit off. Okay, I like that chance. Chicago, I would like the Tennessee game as well at Tennessee, but that Chicago defense is fierce. And they have a great pass rush with Sweat and everyone else. Let's just calm down. Let's not rush him. But albeit, did I want him in at moments yesterday watching that Dolphins game? Hell yeah, that was one. It was hard to watch. They cannot move the ball at all, and our defense is very good, and they just gassed at the end of the game. But the Texans, that's a bad matchup. You don't want to start them in a London game, fair enough. Then you got the Jets at home. That's a possibility. I could see October 27th. But personally, for me, the day after my birthday, November 17th, perfect. 1 o'clock against the Rams. Then you have the Rams, Dolphins, Colts, Cardinals, and then he's feeling his groove. Then, yeah, he's at Buffalo. You're going to have to play him twice a year anyway. Then you're at home against the Chargers, and then you're home against Buffalo. That's, I think, the last 7 games. You said, all right, Drake, you're the quarterback next year. Here's your games. You sat for 10 of them. You saw how we do things at home. You saw how we did things on the road. You went to London and saw how things go. You've seen it all. You saw our quarterback get killed, so what do you got to do? Get the ball out fast. Work on your footwork. They've been doing this all year, waiting up to it. I don't want to just ruin it by throwing him out there against Houston. That doesn't seem too smart. I would wait. Just patience. I would go to Robert Kraft and say, hey, do you have my word? Because this, we think this kid's the real deal. We just want to wait a few more weeks. So if you can just bear with us for another month, and you'll get Drake May out there. I think Robert Kraft will be like, all right, yeah, no problem. And I think Robert Kraft and the Krafts and Elliot Wolf prefer this because they want to go into next year with a plan, saying, all right, the plan should already be decided. Offensive line, get some skill players. The defense is fine. If you bring back this defense next year, we'll be fine. Is it top five in the league? No, but it's a borderline top 10 defense, which most teams would have. Cincinnati would kill to have our defense. They would. A lot of teams would kill. I think Detroit in the secondary would love to have our defense. There's a lot of teams who'd like to have what pieces we have on defense. Defense is fine. The offensive line stinks. I don't mind our running backs. I think they're decent. I'll take Gibson and Stevenson. But we have no really skilled players. Polk will be good, I think, as a decent slot guy. He's not an unreal receiver. He's just a fine receiver. Just work on the O-line. That's literally your job, Elliot Wolf. Take the Campbell kid from LSU or the tackle from Texas, whoever you prefer. Take him at your left tackle. Second round, you're going to take another one. Then you're going to take guards and centers. I only want offensive linemen picked. And in the free agency, you have a boatload of money. I don't care if you overspend on linemen. I don't care. Sign them. And that's your homework, Elliot Wolf. That's really it. Go watch Iowa Hawkeye tape. Go watch Wisconsin, Notre Dame tape, any Midwest school or SEC school, watch tape. Watch them. And don't watch the skill players. Sure, you can do that once in a while. Just watch their offensive linemen and just try and pick the players from there. And we will have a good O-line in no time. That's all it takes. Gerard Mayo, I like Gerard Mayo as a coach. I feel like he's gone a bad rap. These are the same people who wanted Belichick gone. It's the same damn roster. What do you think? In his first year, he's going to turn the whole team around? They play people tough. They really do. But come on, coming into the year, we knew we had one of the hardest schedules in the league. We knew all this. We knew Brissett wasn't good. We knew our O-line wasn't good. We know we had no skilled people. And people said they were fine with it until they stink up the joint and actually see how bad it is. And now, oh, we just throw the kid out there. No, don't. Just wait a few more weeks. Don't throw him out there against Houston, you nuts. Jacksonville? I mean, sure, you can look at that game, but that's in London. If that game was at home, yeah, I'd put him in against Jacksonville. I would. But it's in London, different country, jet lag, whatever. They're not going to put him in there, trust me. Then at home against the Jets, maybe. But November 17th, right now, that's the date. Drake May starting. And maybe it could be that we saw Caleb Williams yesterday throw for 300 yards. And we saw what Jaden Daniels has done. And we see Bo Nix play decent yesterday. And there's just unrest. We're like, we have a guy that's on the Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels level, we think. And we want to see him. And there's a chance I'm wrong and Drake May goes out there and he looks like Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and we're like, we got one of the elite ones. But I think you have a better chance of success for him if you just wait a few more weeks till you get the softer part of your schedule against bad defenses. Indy does not have a good defense. The Rams are banged up on defense. Arizona, they have a decent defense, but nothing spectacular. I just wait a few weeks. Just wait. You're not going anywhere anyway. And if Gerard Mayo said that they were at the beginning of the year, then no one would have believed him. No one. So I know it's frustrating. And I know Brissett is just awful to watch. But hey, we just got we had 20 years of dominance. Can we wait a week? Can we wait a month? We're going to throw out there against Houston with Will Anderson and Hunter on the edge. Are you kidding me? With Stingley locking up with Demario Douglas? You kidding me? It's just going to be screen passes to Hunter Henry the entire game. I don't care. Screen pass to Hooper. I don't care. Do screen passes every play. Draw up the middle every play for a month. I don't care. Get us to November 17th. It's the perfect day. Let's see what he can do. The big story I want to get into, and I feel like we have to get into, no two ways around it, and I feel like we've talked about it before, but it's just too pressing of an issue, is Deshaun Watson. Man, I feel like we've done this on this show. I just need to do a two-minute rant on this. He's done. He's shot, man. It is bad. It is really bad. And it couldn't happen to a worse human being, which I like. You know, if this is a regular human being, like, oh, that's too bad. Move to a new place, you know. Just Browns, man, are a curse. Deshaun Watson, I think we can all agree that we're happy it's happened to Deshaun Watson because he is not a good human being, and we all know that. And he did not want to go to Cleveland. I want to go to Atlanta. I want to go to New Orleans. I want to go. You want to go all these places, not Cleveland. Goes to Cleveland because they throw him $230 million guaranteed, and they knew that despite his off-field issues. And you know what? The term karma is a blank is a real thing, and I believe in it, and it happened to the Cleveland Browns. You had Baker Mayfield lead you to the postseason. Then he has one down year with injuries after that, and you want to move on for a shinier, pretty object. Go all in for Deshaun Watson. You know what the Browns would have to give up to get Baker Mayfield from Tampa? Think about it. What would the Browns have to offer Cleveland to get Baker Mayfield back? It's probably, now I know people won't do it because you're just like, oh, well, just Baker Mayfield's not a borderline top 10 quarterback. I don't know, maybe first round. No. Just draft one. No. If, hypothetical, if the Buccaneers said you can have Baker Mayfield back, but it's going to cost you blank, and we'll take Deshaun Watson. What do you think the number would be? It's at least three first-round picks. At least to take Deshaun Watson's contract and to give up their probably Pro Bowl quarterback this year, Baker Mayfield, Pro Bowl quarterback last year, who led them to the playoffs last year, won a playoff game for them last year. It's probably three first-round picks. At least. And I know people are like, oh, come on. Three first-round picks. I don't think people realize how bad Deshaun Watson is. He is so bad at football. And all of his money, every single dime, is guaranteed. That's how desperate the Browns were to get this buffoon. Because he had a few nice years in Houston. And then you hear every single headline about him is how he's not a good person. This is before all the stuff broke about all the charges against him. And then when all those broke, they still didn't care because the Browns are so desperate. We just want to win football games. We'll put winning football games over anything. Seriously. Crazy. And Deshaun Watson, people like to blame the rust because he got suspended when he came back. Then it was injuries. I don't want to hear that anymore. He played awful lot last year. Played the year, a few games the year before that. Now he's full-blown starting the year again, and he stinks. He is awful. Unwatchable. He's Jacoby Brissett borderline bad. I think Brissett was moving the ball more in this offense when he was there. It's that bad. And boy, don't ask me what the Browns are going to do. Obviously, you know what they're going to do. They're going to try and draft a quarterback in the draft next year. They might be high up there. They're going to be high up there. Right now, they're 1-4. But if they keep playing Deshaun Watson, they are in deep trouble. And you saw Joe Flacco yesterday, too, eh? Y'all saw Joe Flacco. I know they lost. Beat through for 360, lacing the ball to Alec Pierce. Beautiful deep ball. And I know it's not the sexiest option. Joe Flacco, 40-year-old quarterback. Joe Flacco led him to the playoffs last year when Deshaun was hurt. But the thing about this, I'm not confident they're going to beat the Eagles at Philly. Cincinnati is going to score points. Baltimore is going to beat them. The Chargers should be healthy. The Saints, Steelers, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Miami, when they're healthy. How many games are the Browns going to win this year? Not many. And Deshaun stinks. He is awful. And they need to do everything in their power to get him out. Anything and everything. That's what the Browns have to do to get rid of this guy. Cut him. Do anything. I'm guaranteed every money. I bet you right now the Browns are just thinking of any option to get rid of this contract. They probably want to just eat the entire salary to get you off their team. I don't know why Stefanski's saying Deshaun's still our guy, Deshaun's still our guy. How can you say that right now? He is brutal. Brutal. Awful. Gave up 3 first-round picks, biggest contract ever, to bring this buffoon in, and he is a loser. Because he had a few... this is the same guy with like a 24-0 lead in the playoffs against Kansas City with Houston, and he blew it. Wasn't he like 5-11 the year before he got traded? Oh, he had great numbers. Okay, whatever. Guy's a buffoon. Loser. And just a bad person. I don't think I'm bad saying that. Like, no one can come at me for saying he's a bad person. I don't know how many people in the world say, oh, Deshaun Watson's a good guy. It's probably not many. Probably not many. Cincinnati, man, that's a headline we have to talk about. Cincinnati. Joe Burrow played terrific. Obviously, he did have the pick at the end of the game, but the defense, we knew the defense is bad. I'm not going to get on the defense. Not going to do that. But the play calling before the kick is something I'll never understand. So context, it goes to overtime. Lamar and Burrow are playing out of their minds. Lamar's going down the field. Baltimore's moving the ball down the field. Then, I don't know what that fumble was. Hit him in the head, whatever. Cincinnati recovers. Where they recovered it would have been like a 56-yard kick. So they would have tried it regardless. With Burrow throwing for basically 400 yards, with Ja'Marr Chase having basically 200 yards receiving, they just need to get a bit closer to get him in range, in gimme range. They go run up the middle, run up the middle, run up the middle. They only get like 2 yards, and then they go make a 50-something yard kick, and he misses it. And that is, I can't use the term I want to call it, but I'm just going to say it is so conservative and so loser football. You need this game. You're 1-3. You win this game against Baltimore. You're 2-3 with easier games on the schedule. I think you have the Giants next week. You have winnable games. Get to 3-4. Get to 3-3. Get to 4-3. 5-3. Instead, you're just so scared to lose this game. You get ultra conservative with a quarterback who's on fire. Just do a screen pass to Gesicki. I don't know, something. Just get him 10 yards. The difference between a 55 and a 45 in the NFL is huge. Absolutely huge. And you don't know. The way your offense is scoring, you might score a touchdown. You don't even need the kicker. But it was so baloney. Those calls up the middle. And Zach Taylor, and I've been a defender of Zach Taylor. I've said, you know what? If you've gone to a Super Bowl, if you're a few plays away from going back-to-back Super Bowls, and then last year when Burrow got hurt, you went 9-8 with Jake Browning. I was like, okay, maybe Taylor's not that bad of a coach. That was terrible yesterday. Terrible. He should be ashamed of himself. They have the ball on the 30-yard line. Just run the ball 3 times in the middle. Are you kidding me? With the hottest offense I've ever seen? All right, run it on first down. But on second and third down, you don't say, damn, let's get more of a chunk here. You can run it on first down. I don't hate that. But try and pick up some yards. Drop the middle, drop the middle, drop the middle. All right, go bail us out with a 53-yarder. Bad hole, bad hold, bad snap, bad kick. And then Baltimore goes down the field and wins the game. It is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Just they lost. People will get on the defense. Everyone knew the defense is bad. This is the same defense that let the Patriots score on them. This is the same defense that let the Commanders go for, what, 40, 38 points against them? This is the same defense that had the bad pass interference against Kansas City. This is the same defense that Andy Dalton looked pretty good against last week, too, now that I think of it. This defense has not been good at all. We all knew this. We all knew this before the game. So, yes, some falls on the defense, for sure. But Zach Taylor had the ball on his opponent's 30-some-odd yard line with Joe freaking Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, who have been on fire. They've scored 38 points. Burrow's thrown for 400 yards. And you run the ball up the middle three times? It makes no sense. I will never understand it. It's stupid. And right now, the Bengals should be sitting here at 2-3. They should have beat the Patriots. And yeah, the pass interference call, they could be 4-1. But they're here 1-4 and are in deep trouble. Deep trouble. And yes, they're not done yet. They're so talented. It's early in the year. I mean, they're capable of going, 9-3 the rest of the way, 10-7, make the playoffs. But they have to win these next two games. There is no two ways about it. Have to. You're at the Giants and Cleveland. You have to win those football games. Have to. Get it to 3-4. Then you have Philadelphia, who hasn't been that good, at home. Then you have the Raiders at home. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 games. If they can get to 5-4, they're obviously in the mix. And then they play Baltimore again. Then the second half of that schedule opens up. It really does. You have the Chargers, Steelers, Cowboys, Tennessee, the Browns again. Denver's not that good. They had them. Absolutely had them. Losing to the Patriots, that one's going to sting. Obviously, the Chiefs game. The Commanders, looking back on it, are a pretty good team. But that game yesterday, if Zach Taylor has any stones or any guts or just football knowledge in that moment, they're 3-2 right now. Because trust me, they are getting more than 10 yards. And they are constantly moving the sticks. And they might score a touchdown and just win the game. That's also a possibility. So my big loser this weekend, Zach Taylor, or whoever the play caller is in Cincinnati. You like to think Zach Taylor is in charge of, you know what, let's run the ball here. Let's just, you know, we have a good kicker. Let's not be too, don't. He probably goes to the OC and says that. But that is awful. Absolutely awful. Whether it's Dan Pitcher, the offensive coordinator, or Zach Taylor. But Zach Taylor could say, hey, you may want to throw the ball here. That's what the coach is there for. Still, my big loser of the week's the Bengals. Awful, atrocious, just loser football. Go for the win. Get closer to the end zone. 53 yards. You're just comfortable with that. Come on, get closer. Ridiculous. We have a quick ad, and when we come back, we are going to talk about what the hell that weekend was in college football. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Dive into the ultimate comic haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Brew. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
This just in.
REVC is no longer on Thursdays. It's Mondays at noon.
Mondays at noon.
Music so good, you'll exterminate.
Sunday morning, man, she woke up fighting mad. Bitching and moaning on and on about the time I had.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. So, yeah, the my big loser this week is Cincinnati. Just they had them on the ropes. They should have won the game in regulation, obviously, but you get the ball in that position, you got to be more aggressive. Have to be. I could get on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and how bad he looked yesterday. I could do that because that wasn't good. And the Jets, I mean, we'll see if they go after Devontae Adams. I think Devontae wants to go there now. I don't know. but we'll see what happens for the Jets because they got some big games coming up. And I think Aaron will get better than that, but I'm not sure. They have Buffalo next week on a Monday night, then Pittsburgh, Houston coming up, some very good defenses. So we'll see what Aaron Rodgers has. But that was his worst game I've seen him play in a long time. That wasn't good. Could get in more into that. Could get into how Trevor Lawrence looked fantastic yesterday, and maybe the Jags' schedule has opened up a bit. Maybe they can get back into the race. Could go there. Could go into that awful, awful coaching by the Bills in that position. Pin back 40 seconds. Just take it to overtime. You've done all this work to get the overtime. You have 40 seconds left. What the hell are you doing? You're at your own five. Just run the ball and let's force overtime. Your defense has stopped them in the second half. Like, let's go. Let's go to overtime. You have to go the whole field. So, could get into that. We have to talk a bit about that Mets-Philly series, which is just unbelievable. The Mets were down two runs in the ninth inning yesterday, tie the game just to have the Phillies walk it off in the ninth. Can't wait for that game tomorrow, game three. Praying that the Royals take down the Yankees. I'm praying. Come on, Bobby Witt. Come on, guys. Never thought I'd cheer for Kansas City, but this is baseball. It's different. But, man, what a weekend in college football. So after Alabama win the game of the century against Georgia in the most thrilling manner possible, they followed up with a 40 to 35 loss to Vanderbilt. And normally, that alone would all we need to say, that was a good college football week. The number one team in the country lost to the doormat of the SEC, unranked Vanderbilt. But it didn't stop there. Was nowhere near, nowhere close to being done. We had number four Tennessee playing Arkansas and losing, and their quarterback, the generational quarterback, Nico Iamaleva, whatever his name, he, I don't know what that was in the last play, just ran out of bounds. They looked awful. They're ranked number four in the country, lost. We had Missouri. Oh, Missouri, watch out, Missouri in the SEC. They got clotheslined by Texas A&M, 41-10. The Cook quarterback, whoever Brady Cook, whatever his name is, was awful. How much? He was 13-31. Are you kidding me? And I know Luther Burden III is a great receiver. He'll be good on Sundays in the NFL. But that Missouri team being ranked ninth is a shame. It's a travesty. How the hell are they the ninth best team in the country? Awful. We could stop there, and that's an all-time college football Saturday. The defending national champions Michigan lose to Washington. Oh, that's good enough. And then to top it off, USC, after I hear all these pundits, USC's got a defense now. USC are going to be tough in the Big Ten. USC lose to Minnesota? Are you kidding me? In a very poorly officiated game, I understand that. I don't know what the hell these officials are doing now. They don't know how to spot a ball if their life depends on it. But USC, who we all had to hear all USC, have a defense. They beat LSU in the first week. It feels like Brian Kelly just doesn't win first games at LSU this season. They just don't do it. Everyone here at USC is going to be for the real deal, competing in the Big Ten. Probably not. And then I have to hear from the Colin Cowards of the world and these people. Oh, watch last week. If USC beat Minnesota, they're going to beat Penn State. How the hell are they going to beat Penn State? Seriously. I'm not a Penn State fan. I'll be rooting for USC. But I was nervous as a Notre Dame fan, being like, oh my God, our last game's at USC. What are we going to do? We should beat USC by 3 touchdowns. There is zero excuse. Zero. Like none. And then the Miami game, which Cal, I don't know how they can look themselves in the mirror this week. How the hell do you lose that game? You're up 35-10? Am I reading that right? When I turned on the game, I was getting ready for bed. I'm like, oh, it's 21-10. And I look again, it's like 28-10. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Then I come back and I see it was 38-18 maybe. I'm like, oh, this game's over. No. And then Cam Ward and Washington outscore him 21-3 in the fourth quarter. Like, how is that even possible? I watched that fourth quarter. Seriously, how? I'm like, how the hell? It's 38-18 now. How, like, this game's over. And then they just, ugh. And they just vomited all over themselves. And then they pinned them back. They pinned Miami back inside the five. Pin them inside the five. And they just do, Miami does a screen pass. It goes for like 80 yards to in the red zone. And then that quarterback, Mendoza, wherever his name is, for Cal is awful. And then they still had time. They had a minute and change, some timeouts. You get in field goal range, you win the game. They have apparently one of the best kickers in college football. The field goal range line was like about like the 35-yard line, 40-yard line. I'm like, damn, this guy's good. He couldn't complete a pass. So my big loser's Cal. Cal in college football, Florida State's a loser every week. But my big Alabama, they're a loser this week. Tennessee's a loser this week, obviously. USC, Michigan. Michigan doesn't have a quarterback. I hate Michigan, but it's like their defense isn't that bad. The team's not that bad. They just have no quarterback. Missouri, the two biggest for me are Kalen DeBoer, head coach for Alabama. You need to have your team ready to play after a big win. It's Vanderbilt. You probably just thought, oh, we just have to show up and we're going to smoke Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt almost beat Missouri, who was supposedly great, number 9 in the country. They've played other teams tough. This is a talented Vanderbilt team. This is not the doormat, the SEC Vanderbilt. This is a much better Vanderbilt. You lose that game, not having your team ready to play at all. So he's one of my losers in college football this week. My other loser has to be Missouri for being frauds and Cal. Cal football's done for me for a while. Just go hit the books again, Cal. I'm done with Cal. They ruined the Florida State winless season. They ruined it. They had a chance to win the game. If it was like fourth and they had first and goal from like the five. Couldn't get in and beat Florida State just to continue the memes. And then they're up by a billion against Miami in the fourth quarter and they lose. And that quarterback on that last drive, I cannot. How do you not complete a pass? You think they're playing prevent and will give you like a 5-yard out. He couldn't even do that. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Brutal. And know what else we have to say? The biggest winners this week were the teams on bye. Texas, Notre Dame. Notre Dame didn't play anyone, and they went from like 15 to 11. Texas didn't play anyone. They're back to number one team in the country. And we got the Red River next week, which will be great. But those are the winners this week. It was so much mayhem. Just felt like one of those days. It also felt like if Notre Dame played a MAC team that day, they would have lost. So I'm happy we were on bye. But man, what a week in college football. NHL starts in 2 days, and I can't wait. Florida against Boston. I mean, as a Boston fan, I'm a bit nervous for that one. We got Swayman locked up. Cannot wait for that. And then in this city, obviously the big one's Wednesday when the Leafs come to Montreal to take on the Canadiens at 7 o'clock. That should be a great one. But man, what to think who I like in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year in the East. I'm going to go Florida. Toronto's going to make the playoffs. Boston will make the playoffs. And then the team is going to be like, well, who's going to be the wild card teams? Because you're going to have, I think New Jersey's going to make the playoffs. I'll have the Rangers make the playoffs. I'll have Carolina make the playoffs. And then it's like that next group. I think Pittsburgh bounces back. Crosby's going to play well. I'll take Pittsburgh. My other wild card team, I think, will be Tampa Bay. I think Ottawa makes a big jump. Allmark's going to help out a lot. But right now, I'll go my 8 in the East, Boston, Florida, Toronto, Tampa, New Jersey, Islanders, Rangers, Penguins. That's what I do on top of my head. In the West, who knows? The West is a question mark. I think Edmonton's the best team in the West along with Dallas, so we'll see what happens. Thank you guys for listening to this week of the Tommy John Show. We'll be back next Monday where we will talk about the first week in the NHL as well as what week 6 of the NFL had in store for us. I am Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Thank you so much for listening, and we will chat next Monday. See you then.
You are listening to...